This presentation was given at the 2017 Oktoberfest Conference at the Orangeburg German Swiss Genealogy Society. Rights to the content of the presentation remain with the speaker.
Our next speaker is Lynn Teague, who probably by now needs no introduction to most of you, and she's going to talk on ethnicity and genes.
Thank you, Margaret. Let's see if we could get this down a bit. What inspired this talk was watching the ads on TV. Now, the Ancestry.com ads, I think most of us have probably seen by now. And there's the one where the woman is standing in front of the Zia Pueblo pots and the Acoma pots, and she says, oh, she's discovered she's 25% Native American. Well, probably so. With the ethnicity studies they do for the genetic testing for autosomal DNA, you can probably say that. Then you got the guy who switched from lederhosen to the kilt.
Right.
And I watch him and I say, you must have some different tests than I've heard about. Because it doesn't really work that easily. So, just very briefly for the basics here, we've talked at practically every Oktoberfest about DNA. Y-DNA, of course, is the straight paternal line. Mitochondrial DNA is the straight maternal line. Autosomal DNA is when you have a chance at looking at all of your ancestry. So there's at least within the past five generations recognizable DNA from each of your ancestors, regardless of which ancestor it is. And all of the tests that are commonly done give you different kinds of results. One is your actual matches, and they vary in how much detail they give you about this. We use family tree DNA because they give you your actual chromosome segments, so that if you really want to go into it in detail, you can do very detailed work. Ancestry does not give you that, but they do give you genetic circles and other things that look at individual matches. However, the other thing they do is this ethnicity estimate. And so I thought it would be useful to talk about what does that actually mean and what does it not mean. And since I have been tested at all three major companies, Family Tree, Ancestry, and 23andMe, and have uploaded to GEDmatch, you're going to just see an awful lot of my DNA here in this talk. Okay. Family Tree has what they call My Origins and Ancient Origins. And the Ancient Origins is interesting. That's something that's come along fairly recently in which it's possible to be compared to actual DNA from ancient remains. Or from reconstructed notions of ancient DNA, which is another matter. Ancestry has ethnicity estimates, and they have that in thousands of years ago and in genetic communities. Genetic communities, something unique to ancestry at this point. We'll be looking at that. It's an interesting thing. 23andMe, you get ancestry composition, and you can get how much of your ancestry is Neanderthal. Because most of us of European descent, practically everybody who is not of pure African descent, has some Neanderthal ancestry. Then there is GEDmatch, where you can upload your data and look at it. And so the question I think is worth asking, can you actually rely on these things? What do they actually mean? What's behind these estimates? And the answer is every company is comparing to a different set of samples from different places. And so none of them have exactly the same samples they're comparing to. That means you're not going to get the same results on your ethnicity from any two companies, really. What you're really being told is that you match people from that population. It doesn't necessarily tell you that your particular ancestors ever lived in the place where that population now lives. Okay, so it's you're looking at everything about DNA is comparing your DNA with that of other people. And so what's valid about this is if you look at who the other people are they're comparing to, you know what you're getting. But you should never assume that because you have a lot of matches. I have a lot of matches in Alabama, but I have no ancestors in Alabama. That's a real simple example. Okay. Each company attempts to some degree to control for people having migrated around with varying success. Okay, family tree, my origins, and unfortunately it's kind of hard to see here, but they're telling me that I am 98% European, and of that, 12% is Scandinavian, and 86% is West and Central Europe. Well, I know almost all of my ancestors back to great-great-great-grandparents, and we know our Orangeburg, and in my maternal grandmother's case, Lancaster County, South Carolina history. There are not a lot of Scandinavians running around. What we're often looking at here is evidence of Scandinavian migration into Europe, into the areas where our ancestors are from. And indeed, way back, we may have Scandinavian ancestry. But this is not telling you that 500 years ago you necessarily had a lot of ancestors in Scandinavia. They're telling me I have trace matches in South America. I am pretty sure I have no ancestors that were in South America. So I'm assuming this is going the other way. This is probably people of European descent who are related to me somehow moving into South America. So we have this cluster that they're showing centered on Germany. Unfortunately, nobody has a great Swiss sample. That's family tree my origins. The family tree ancient European origins are actually very interesting. They're telling me that I am 44% descended from hunter-gatherers. Well, at this point, we now know that most European populations are a blend of various populations that moved in between 50 and 10,000 years ago who were hunter-gatherers, did not farm. Then there are people who came in 10,000 years ago and later who farmed, and that's where we get my 43% farmer. Family tree has a unique category, 12% metal age migrants. And I assume many of you have been tested at family tree since you're part of the Orangeburg group, and so you have a chart like this. So what is a metal age migrant? You don't find this for any of the other companies. This is actually somebody who moved, populations that moved into Europe after the original farmers moved in. So we're talking about the last 2,000 or 3,000 years. Some of you who have been in the society a very long time may remember that earlier I did studies of the Dukes and Schuler lines, male Y-DNA lines, looking at the best data we had at that time on what could you do with cluster analysis and everything else to tell you about where these people came from. Both the Schuler and Dukes lines looked like they were, in fact, very late migrants into Europe, like between 3,000 and 2,000 years ago. And as many of you know, I'm an archaeologist, and that's yesterday. So 3,000 to 2,000 years ago or so, they're moving in to Europe from the Near East, from the Caucasus, in the case of the Dukes family, from the Levant and the Eastern Mediterranean, in the case of the Schulers, and ending up, though, in Western Europe. But that's what those metal age migrants are, and the other companies don't split those out. And then we've got 0% other. We'll see, that's not necessarily true. Okay, 23andMe in this version, I'm again heavily European, 99.7%. They have me at
a 0.1% Middle Eastern and North African, and at less than 0.1% Sub-Saharan African,
which I think of as Parthena, for all of you who know the Pendarvis family history. There is, for the Pendarvis family, which is very, there are a lot of descendants here in the Orangeburg area, there is a Sub-Saharan African ancestor back there on the family tree in about 1735. And so 23andMe is basically reflecting that at about the percentage you would expect for that many generations back. And then they've got unassigned. 23andMe European components. This is where you really need to take it all with a giant grain of salt. They're telling me I'm 34.4% British and Irish. I actually, my maternal grandmother and paternal grandmother had a lot of British ancestry, and that's not unreasonable. French and German, 20.8%. I have, I think, two documented French lines way back. Scandinavian pops up again, broadly Northwestern European. My opinion, as we'll see when I start comparing the companies, is a lot more of it is broadly Western European than they're admitting. They really aren't very sure exactly where. Southern European, 3% Iberian. Again, if there had been a Spanish settler in Orangeburg in 1735, I think we'd know about it. So this is clearly something else that's, you know, ancestral to someone who ended up in Switzerland or Britain or whatever. Broadly European, again, they can't pin it down, and they admit it, 2%. 23andMe gives you an ancestry timeline in which they say you can be sure you have one ancestor that is purely of this descent in this time frame. And I am here to tell you I don't think this is true. they have me having a pure Scandinavian ancestor here in the time frame, which is impossible to read here, but it's basically 1700s into the 1800s. And that is simply not true. We know from my family. I'd be very surprised if there was anybody pure German or pure British in a later period in my ancestry. I would advise you to just not to pay a great deal of attention to this if you've tested at 23andMe. It's interesting that they're playing with it, but I don't think it's reliable at all. Okay, chromosome painting. This is the fun stuff that shows you how they're reaching these percentages. 23andMe, of course, refers to the fact you've got 23 chromosomes there, and they actually paint the colors by individual segments where they think they're from. And have it keyed, and again, sorry, it's not really legible here, but this is different colors for different ethnicities, and this can be very helpful when you're trying to do a more sophisticated look at it, and looking at particular segments and who matches you on that segment. It can be handy to look at what they think the ethnicity of that segment, the ethnic origin, is. But again, it's something I would not put huge weight on at this point. Now, Ancestry does something here that I think is actually very interesting from the Orangeburg point of view. The Ancestry ethnicity estimate, again, it's nothing surprising here if you've seen my other results. 97% Euro. They give me a lot more Great Britain than Ancestry here, than 23andMe did. Western Europe, again, apparently there's some Spanish ancestry there somewhere. Scandinavian, Ireland. I know I've got Berries and Murphys from Orangeburg County, so that's no surprise. And they give you this nice map. Well, okay, so this is basically the equivalent of what we've seen from the other companies. The fun thing I think they do that the others don't is genetic communities in recent years. I mean, fairly, you know, within the past several centuries. And this is the Midlands and Coastal Plain, South Carolina, Midlands and Coastal Plain genetic cluster in the Ancestry database.
And this is identified as my largest, strongest association. And that, of course, is very accurate. We're looking here at something that's over the past three centuries. And within that three to four centuries, there has been a lot of intermarriage, and the population has developed a certain amount of genetic distinctiveness. And this is probably something that many of you here would get the same community showing up on your test, because this is, we've got Charleston down here, Florence, okay, this is Augusta, so this is basically somewhere around the Salkahatchee, Orangeburg in here, that really is our mixed Swiss, German, and some English and other British ancestry that we expect from the Midlands and coastal areas of South Carolina. And so they nailed it on that for me. Settlers of the North Carolina-South Carolina border. Again, they very good. They got something absolutely right. My maternal grandmother, this is less strong a signal in my genetics than the other, but my maternal grandmother is a Coffin from Lancaster County. And all of her ancestry is North Carolina, South Carolina border, Scots-Irish, and related people. And they nailed that down very nicely. African Americans in the Savannah River Basin. I don't think I picked that up from that less than 0.1% Parthenopindarvis. I think what we're seeing here is the population of African Americans who have white ancestry in their gene pool that relates us to any of us who have done these tests know that we end up with African-American mixed race matches. And that's because there has been a lot of intermarriage so much, unfortunately, but there's been a lot of interaction over the centuries. And that's basically what this is reflecting. The migration issue, moving to Texas. Well, we all know, any of us who studied this for very long know that lots and lots of Orangeburg people went to Alabama. So here's the bigger picture of that first community, the Midlands and coastal area. Louisiana, really strong in Alabama and western Georgia. And there we are at the home base in South Carolina. That's where our people went, and they can see it in the genetic database. And this is all three of those spread out. And so what we're seeing here is a very big, and I think very legitimate, genetic community on a large scale of all of these populations in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, northern Florida, that moved west starting around 1800 into Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, and Texas. And I think it's fascinating that we can see right there in the gene pool what we've been seeing in our records on those parts of our families that migrated out of South Carolina over the years. If we had been asked to color it in, where we would guess the gene pool would have spread, this would have been it. And sure enough, there it is. GEDmatch is a free service where you can upload your data and you can do comparisons against a lot of different databases. So it's like having 23andMe, Family Tree, Ancestry in one place in terms of being able to look at different sample sets. And they have different focuses for their different sets. I mean, some of them are more sensitive for some populations than others. The MDLP project started off as a study of the Grand Duchy of Lithuania's genetics. Eurogenes draws on 23andMe and Family Tree. Harappa World focuses on India and adjacent areas. They also have a very comprehensive match to ancient DNA sample by sample, and they also have a Neanderthal match. This you absolutely can't see here, but I wanted you to see what the whole chart looked like before I moved in. This is the archaic DNA matches of GEDmatch, and these are actual individual sites that are listed here. And how dark that line is, the gold line is how good a match these folks are for me. And what I found out here is, again, confirming something I suspected, which is if you are descended from German and German-Swiss farmers, if you go back earlier, you'll find more German and German-Swiss farmers.
Duh.
Going back 7,000 years, I'm matching samples of farmers from Stuttgart, from Luxembourg. They don't have a sample from Switzerland, but all around there, I'm matching early farmer samples. Now here's just part of that, and I hope this would show up better, and it doesn't really, but at a one Swedenborgian match, which you'd never want to claim a close relationship on that, but it's, you know, some relationship. Again, that just shows that it emphasizes Stuttgart, Luxembourg, so forth. So all of us, our Swiss and German folks, didn't really move around a whole lot in 7,000 years, which is basically when they started farming, between 10 and 7,000 years ago, in the Rhine Valley and adjacent areas and into all of the other parts of Europe where our ancestors lived. This is the Eugene's model of GED match, and they're giving you pie charts of your ancestry that are comparable to the sort of things we've seen from the others. Chromosome painting, also available at GEDmatch. This is through the Eurogenes sample. And what you can basically see here is that I've got a lot of Western European in various variants. Chromosome painting on a large scale, the small condensed, but showing the whole range. Yet another admixture. And in this case, what we're showing is, again, hunter-gatherers versus early farmers. Same thing with, again, a different set of samples. Again, there are changes in the proportions, but the same idea. Oracle is the thing you can use at GEDmatch that tells you, for any one of these sets of samples, what group of places your ancestry might most likely be derived from. And these results are kind of puzzling at times, but for instance, with one population approximation, mine, the best match is Germanic, surprise. If you combine two, Norwegian and Tuscan. Having run a lot of these that I'm not going to bother you with today, I can tell you there's a lot of Tuscan and Northern Italian matches, and I believe those are because it's basically the same population as parts of Switzerland. The Schuller home parish of Fehrenbaum was less than 10 miles from the biggest Roman garrison in Switzerland, and I don't think that garrison was unique. I think people were moving across that same set of passages through the mountains over millennia. And so you're getting a very deep look at your ancestry with this kind of thing. This is yet another version that has hunter-gatherers versus Neolithic farmers. Eastern hunter-gatherers, one of the things that's been figured out just in the past decade is that the steppes of Eastern Europe produced a significant contribution to Western European genetics. Oracle again. I don't know why Hungarian is supposed to be my best match. Again, I think this is evidence of the fact that you really need to look at multiple samples if you want to think you know what you're looking at. This particular one is, again, old DNA, and it's got me at 2.4% Siberian. That's very old DNA. Okay, so if we look at all of them together, which is a way of saying how much do they agree with each other, and therefore is there, you know, if there's agreement, is there a better chance that it means something? On the ancient DNA, there's actually a high level of agreement. Everybody's pretty sure that I'm somewhere around 40% hunter-gatherer. And everybody's pretty sure that I'm about a quarter Neolithic early farmer. The differences over here on categories of early metal and so forth are simply differences in how they're breaking down the populations. But the fact that there's such consistency in these other things tells me that at this deep level, there actually is a lot of similarity in the results. This, however, looks at the more modern matches, and I compared myself to my husband because I knew we had different ancestry. He has no known Swiss ancestry, very little German ancestry, almost entirely British. And so what this is saying is, after a few thousand years, all of us look pretty much the same. Western hunter-gatherer, I'm at 33%, he's at 35. Other hunter-gatherer, I'm 26, he's 25. Neolithic farmer, I'm 35, he's 33. Other, I'm 5'5'8, he's 5'5'4. When you have large populations over large periods of time, this is going to happen. It's going to move to a normal curve. You're going to have a lot of similarity in the population at that deep level. And it speaks to just the sheer universality of a lot of our heritage. The modern DNA is much more all over the place. I think with the modern DNA, I'm much more reluctant to get too excited. I would never trade in my lederhosen for a kilt on the basis of their estimates of modern DNA. They simply don't come too close to even being similar. And I'm not going to try to read any of the numbers off to you, but you know, in terms of overall European ancestry, sure. But you get into finer breakdowns, and they simply don't agree with each other a lot. Family Tree did something very revealing, I think about 2 years ago, but time flies, I'm not sure. They changed their algorithm for calculating this, and I went from having this big hole in my ancestry that was Switzerland and Germany, where I knew I had tons of ancestry, and they were telling me I was almost all British, and now they're telling me I'm almost no British, and have picked up on the German and Swiss. Neither is right. So I think the whole problem of sampling on these populations that are talking about whether you should be wearing lederhosen or a kilt are something that you can amuse yourself with, but it's not really telling you anything very meaningful. All of them are right in the sense I'm sure that they hire people who can do basic math. And so I'm sure they're all right in terms of being mathematically correct comparisons of samples. But they don't necessarily mean what an advertisement tells you they mean. So, any questions? Yes?
You said they haven't done any Swiss sampling. Why not?
I'm sure people have been sampled in Switzerland, but they haven't been included in any of these things. Actually, France has very few samples because I think it's been changed now, but for a long time France actually prohibited personal DNA testing.
Why don't I ever get any hits from Europe?
People in Europe are not having their tests run with at least the same people we are. Family Tree is now expanded into Europe, and I'm hoping that will do a lot more to give us those matches. I mean, what the gold standard for many of us is, can we find the family that we're descended from by a match in England or France or Germany? And we're normally not doing that now. What we're mainly doing at this point is finding the matches with people who have better documentary records than we do that can point to a particular place.
Or have come over more recently.
Yeah.
One last question is that ancient origins charts and all, I don't understand those. If the test is older, have they gone back and done it on those old tests, or is it just new?
Well, the ancient origins, I'm not sure how some of the companies are doing their older things. They may be extrapolating back from modern samples, but the ones at GEDmatch are actual archaeological specimens that are tested.
Oh, but that's through GEDmatch only. They're the ones that put it out.
Well, GEDmatch, you can upload from any of these to GEDmatch.
So I just said, like on Family Tree, that I did this test, you know, 6 years ago or something.
Right.
Have they gone back to my test?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they have re-examined. Yeah, they will have updated the presentation of your data.
Okay.
I was tested years ago too, but this is all done in the past month.
So all this depends upon each company's database.
Right.
We don't know.
Some of it does, and some of it is more reliable. But again, if you know that most Western European populations, like me and my husband, on the Asian stuff, you have a certain amount of shared, very comparable things as a rule, it's valid, but it's not telling you a lot you wouldn't have known without testing.
Well, National Geographic also has...
They have a test, too. There are many different tests
okay.
now, mm-hmm. and there's one with living DNA that
yeah.
claims to be able to pin down sub-areas in Great Britain.
I'd like to add two comments. All of us share 99.9% of the DNA in common. So you're talking about a minute percentage of DNA where these variations occur. The other thing is, I know one of the companies, their early way of determining whether you were English or Spanish or French, their database consists, their sample database that they will compare you to, consisted of going to England and finding people who had all four grandparents born in England,
mm-hmm.
or going to France and finding people who had all four grandparents born in France. Well, Europe's been doing the mix and matching a lot longer than we have in this country. So again, one way to look at it is they can tell you probably what continent you come from, but don't trust the country, although there is some interesting work being done in Britain.
I think it's going to be possible soon.
It's going to be like what Ancestry's doing with the communities. They are starting to be able to identify communities.
I think those communities are probably the most
yes.
promising thing I've
yes.
seen on the ethnicity front.
Yes.
They're actually, you know, because pretty soon Ancestry's going to be able to break down even those sub-communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And identify our first Swiss descendant community.
Right. If we get enough of us in our project.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
You mentioned three major players.
Mm-hmm.
Ancestry, Family Tree,
mm-hmm.
and 23andMe.
Mm-hmm.
Undoubtedly, there will be others that come along.
Yes.
GEDmatch is a service to try to suck in all of that from the three and marry them up.
Right. For free. I mean,
for free.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, it's a service.
The FTVNA is not really playing with those guys, right?
No.
No.
GEDmatch, you have to download your data to GEDmatch.
And FTVNA is saying that they don't necessarily agree with it.
I don't know about the details.
That's implied.
They have a warning about
right.
sharing your DNA data. Obviously, I am not terribly sensitive about sharing my DNA data.
But some people are.
Yeah, but it does put some people off.
Now, from your dealings with all three of those players,
mm-hmm.
are you comfortable that all three of them will be around for a substantial period of time in that business?
I think they will, however.
The reason I ask the question is that the company behind Ancestry.com,
mm-hmm.
about 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, they brought up something called My Family,
mm-hmm.
where people could either pay for a website, or get it free if you allow advertising on the website. you could authorize anybody to join you wanted to. They could put in pictures. They could publish articles on it. They could tell you who was, who's. It was great cooperative effort. Okay. After about 5 or 6 years, I'm not sure what happened. I can guess, but the company decided that they were retiring that service.
Yes.
Okay, they had millions of photographs of people out there that have now gone off into the ether somewhere.
I have an even worse ancestry story. I wouldn't be worried about any one of these companies going under, but I would worry about one thing that I know Ancestry has done, which is, I think, worse than your example. They did do Y-DNA and mitochondrial for a while, and when they decided... When they decided that they didn't want to continue with that, it wasn't making them enough money, they threw the samples out. People who had elderly relatives tested so that they could never replicate the sample elsewhere, the samples were gone forever.
Yes, and I will point out that as far as I know, Family Tree DNA commits to keeping your sample for 25 years.
Yeah,
none of the other companies put...
Who's that?
Family Tree.
Family Tree DNA.
That's one of the reasons we use them. We know we can. The people will be able to update. We know that if you get your great aunt to test, and you can only afford one test now, and you want to run the next one next year, it's going to be possible. They won't have just thrown it in.
Right.
Now, if you want to preserve your DNA, there are some people that do that. This university in Virginia that will send you back what looks like a lot of paper between, you know, plastic that they say preserves it forever.
Well, as a Shuler descendant, I assume that my genes are not short supply.
Okay, thank you, Lynn. That was very helpful. The whole thing, not...
I did a request.